My wife and I saw an armored barn job at Sedona, Arizona one evening, looking through binoculars at, holy mackerel, what is that? Obviously, my left brain goes, oh, geothermal, plasma base, blah, blah, blah. But then a second one emerged from behind it, or within it. They remained stationary for a few minutes and then winked out.
Okay, my guest is Bob Davis. Now, Bob Davis has too many things for me to remember in terms of his background. And I could cheat and go, you know, and look on the website and say that. But I wanted to talk to him because, for one thing, he has a film coming out. This is about consciousness. That's where I wanted to start. And then there were some other experiences that he had. And I first ran across him when I was doing some exploring of the Free Group. And that was the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Experiences. And so, Bob, I want you to fill in the blanks. Your background, it's Dr. Davis, Bob Davis. So start where you feel most comfortable.
It seems at this stage in my career, I've acting as a producer, along with the producer, director, et cetera, Dave Beatty of Dreamtime Entertainment, who developed the Nimitz Encounters, and about 6 million views already on Netflix, really blasted things off with the UAP incidents, the pilots who were involved, and really set things in motion, I think, from a social standpoint.
Yeah.
So consciousnessfilm.info, people can go there, please, and if you resonate with the concept of consciousness, which means many things and nothing, because we don't have a well-defined concept of what that means. But that's the issue here. Wake people up to the fact that there's another force that does exist that is impacting human beings in so many different ways. And we have leading experts, experiencers, you name it. It's all in there in the website. If you resonate with it, please feel free to sponsor it. There's a GoFundMe page. The awkward aspect of being a producer is you need money, of course. And I apologize, but that is the nature of the business. if you do resonate only, please. So you feel you're getting something out of it too. $2, whatever it might be. The concept is cool. It's a left brain, right brain thing. I grew up as a scientist. I got my doctorate, did some electrophysiological research, administration, all that stuff. And then I had bada bang, a kundalini experience. You know, there's a right brain come in and there's the conflict involved. But before even that, I saw two UFOs in Sedona, Arizona. Then I had a shared death experience. I knew my colleague had died. I woke up from a lucid dream. She died that morning. I had the kundalini experience, a true kundalini. That also has to be better defined. And that led to my last book, Unseen Forces, the Integration of Science, Reality, and You. So we go from the left brain, gets a PhD, you know, the papers, all that materialistic stuff, and then bada bing.
Well, that's where you help, because you become a bridge. You have the language to make this all coherent to people who are looking at this from a science background.
Maybe to some who want to see that connection, possibly, yeah. I don't get into metaphysical, I don't get into politics. I'm interested, certainly, in both. But metaphysical, there is a lot of truth there. There really is. And that's not the problem, because science doesn't address that. Psychology, medicine doesn't address that. So people that have these spiritual experiences, like I'm talking about, we have it every day. People all walk the earth, life, their closet, experiences, in a sense. You're afraid to obviously admit it, didn't talk about it, and then congrats to you. You help wake people up to the fact that millions of people are having these kinds of experiences in all ways, shapes, and sizes. We don't know what it is, from UAPs to kundalini to near-death, out-of-body, or everything in between. My God, it comes in so many different sizes and shapes. It's extraordinary. It really is.
There's a lot of stuff that, in terms of our history, when people had a premonition or there was something that we'd call intuition, don't go down that road, there's a problem there. Native cultures, indigenous cultures, this isn't something that's foreign to them. It's their home turf. And I think in some ways we're just beginning to catch up and acknowledge the value of shamanism.
You're exactly right.
You know,
you're right on. You know something, Wendy, the best lecture I heard was from a chief of a southwestern Indian tribe. elderly gentleman who was well versed, even doing a little quantum physics, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. He made the most sense to me about this whole thing than anyone else. You know, we look at MJ-12, Roswell, UAP, NDE. There's all truth there. There is. Some nonsense sense, you make sense of that, okay? But there is truth there. But you're right. It's written on cave walls to biblical texts, to folklore, et cetera, expressed using language at the time, the technology at the time. So now what are we doing? We're widening that gap, yes, indeed, between past cultural beliefs and the phenomena and now, because we apply science to it, Newtonian physics, which isn't designed to explain the spiritual, mm-hmm. the mystical, the phenomena, anomalous. So the gap widens. And we lose sight of that path that you raise, exactly. So, you know, we need that obvious paradigm shift as we all wish we had to bring in that integration of science and whatever you want to call it, the paranormal, anomalous, metaphysics, too many different names, consciousness. Yeah. And that documentary is partly involved in trying to wake people up. And I think that alone may be very well the foundation of moving forward, evolving spiritually, waking people up one at a time. And maybe that comes about naturally. Maybe there is external agents involved in helping us do so. Yes. And some people get these spontaneous events out of grief, out of joy. It comes in all different ways. As a transpersonal event that changes people's philosophical personal viewpoints on matters of extreme importance from that moment forward. And the triggers are enormous, from emotional stress, great emotional stress, to the things we mentioned, like the NDE and the UAP. But that, too, also brings some degree of stress. But there's unique elements, and that's where we lack the science, looking at those elements, the subjective essence of the experience. We can't put it into language, the people that have these spiritual experiences, because why? We describe reality using 3D brain, 3D language. We describe what we understand and mean. Well, people have these 4D, 5D experiences. You know that. Mm-hmm. The audience knows. There's no space, no time. I can see 360 degrees. I pass through solid, all that stuff. How do you put language on that? How do you get the feeling for what that truly means to the individual? And what impression does that leave them going forward? I listen to people. The people I respect, they're well-balanced, and they're telling me these stories. It great touched me.
I think that's part of it, though. Storytelling is how we connect, and that's been happening with all of the indigenous cultures. Going back to that, with the Aborigines, this is something that is the heritage that they insist on, is telling the story and carrying it forward. You're doing that, and I want to go back to you, because the Kundalini experience you had, the two UFO sightings, and the shared death experience, what came first?
My wife and I saw an armored barn job at Sedona, Arizona one evening, looking through binoculars at, holy mackerel, what is that? Obviously, my left brain goes, oh, geothermal, plasma-based, blah, blah, blah. But then a second one emerged from behind it, or within it. They remained stationary for a few minutes and then winked out.
Change you?
I wrote the book, The UFO Phenomenon, which I believe, which I would have rewritten since. I wrote that about 7 years ago. I always was a closet ufologist. So that made me go out looking for UFOs. and I got it. I asked for it. You apply, meaning you wish for is what you get back. So uh-huh. I was looking for it. I got it. And yeah, it did something. It the talk started coming out a little bit more,
Okay.
I wrote the book, the shows got on free. I wrote a paper with Russ Scalpone based on 3,200 individuals who claim to have conscious recall of interacting with non-human entities.
Yeah.
More often than not associated with the UAP. With the UAP, yeah, the physical, the reproductive stuff, yeah, the hybrid baby, all that stuff we hear, you get some of that to a much smaller degree. People have interacted with non-human entities much more so not related to UAP.
Yeah.
And when it is UAP, they get that, they describe it as a like an OBE, the floating up to a matrix, a non-3D reality, mm-hmm. where they had that kind of experience that you can't, hard to make sense of. But the emotions of unconditional love, supreme being, God, all that, it comes through. But then you get the astral travelers going to this place, that place, you know, you wonder what that's all about. But 3,200 people, you know, it does provide an important message.
I took that little survey. It took forever,
okay.
ever. And I'm like, okay, after several hours, I even said, okay, this is labor intensive. I need to check out now. I hope you have what you can use.
Yeah. And, you know, something, most people completed most of it.
Yeah.
Which was surprising, yeah. You know, why? Because it's sort of the first time people could express something mm-hmm. where they felt they can get it out. It was cathartic for many of them. They said that,
yeah.
And it should be. Yeah, it was overdone. True, but we got. But thank you for doing that. Thank you for those who participated because it did provide some very interesting information.
Absolutely,
it was published yeah. in just a Journalist of Scientific Exploration, a well-respected refereed journal. A little poorly recognized, but here we can look at more of a non-physical psychic conscious aspect of the phenomena, which seems to be part of it all. Not that. Well, how can that people look? We have a brain. We're moved by these things. We can't explain why me, what happened. We got a million questions. What doctor do I go to for this? We're creating anxiety. We don't know how to deal with it. We never learned about it. So it knocks our socks off, you know? So we have to build communities. We have to share it socially. I love Facebook for that reason.
Yeah.
Things like you do are beautiful. You got to talk about it. Reinforce one another because you get the negative stigma everywhere else. I remain in the closet, but as you follow this, as we normally say, I just came out talking about my Kundalini experience. Then I had the shared death experience. I had the lucid dream. I felt like I was suffocating. I knew I was going to die. It obviously wakes you up. I knew my colleague, lab tech friend, died.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the rest of the story, that morning she died at the time I had that dream. Yes, there's a method there, meaningful essence. Measure that in me. You can't quantify that,
no,
obviously.
No.
It's not, you know, not science. So prove it. There's my left brain struggling. What happened to me? I just felt there.
Mm-hmm.
I just did. That sense of knowingness, you know, maybe we all have that sense to be developed, some much more advanced than others. You know, Gary Nolan, Cordae Pudeman, more white fibers, maybe there is a physiologic, you know, basis for this that runs in families. But it seems to integrate with external energy, you see. There is something external to the brain and they interact, it seems. I can't say that for sure, because she was communicating to me.
Yeah.
People receive that information. Maybe that's consciousness itself. Information exchange. You to them, them to you. You can call it by many different names. It goes by many different definitions, of course, depending upon the discipline, you know, the person comes from, of course. So it was a communication, a sad one, of course, but I wrote the book after that, Life After Death, not surprising, mm-hmm. An analysis of the evidence. I wrote it more for the academic community, a little ego involved there. But I want to look at life after death, consciousness isn't the brain. That's what I guess we're talking about. Or there's an extension of some energy from the brain that's interacting with an external energy force. You know, quantum field of some type, information field, the semantic field, goes by different names, but maybe that information field is there. You see, people say they access it. Maybe that's where beings, who knows, have
yeah.
some conscious entities there. You know, we get beyond the body. You know, is the consciousness byproduct the brain or vice versa? That's the basic question, of course.
But your Kundalini experience, though, that would have
yeah,
amplified you
yeah.
and given you a little bit more chutzpah, maybe a little bit more charge to get out of the body and to embrace some of this, in my opinion, to embrace it more because you've had this burst that says, oh my gosh, I'm not in control. What the heck is going on? And then coming down from that. So explain the Kundalini, how that shifted for you.
Let's do it in one sentence. Cork came out of the bottle.
Mm.
Cork came out of the bottle. It's spontaneous, a true Kundalini, I think, based on what I read, too little research, too little in the literature to truly understand, but it was spontaneous. Boy, that was quite a stressful transpersonal event, very complex for people to know. We don't have a true definition of Kundalini. Many people say that, oh, I had a Kundalini experience, when it really isn't.
Yeah.
There are advancements, you know, awakenings, but boy, true healing experience, holy, you know what?
It throws you upside down. Everything goes out, like you said. Mine was gradual, but Penny Kelly, I've talked with her, and she was the one who really elucidated it, because hers was also, like yours, extreme. Where you just go into these, your body does these kinds of motions, and whether it's orgasmic or whatever, it's on and on and on, and it doesn't stop, and all of a sudden you have to continue with your life. For me, it was a gradual shift.
Well, it should be gradual. You see, spontaneous ones, especially those who are left-brained, you know, scientific math, that kind of thing, you're more in conflict intellectually as well as emotionally.
You blow a gasket. Kind of, you know, to me.
Morning coffee tastes very different the next day. Put it very mildly. Your blown a gasket is right. My gosh. You can go psychotic. You know, you really can. Yeah. Whatever that means. You know, but, you know, you lose the association, whatever the term you want to throw in it. Well, you know what? Long story short, Dr. Bree Batchelor, practicing gynecologist, Australia. I gave two papers there on UFOs and life after death, based on my books. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, a noted paranormal researcher who passed away, unfortunately, 2 years ago, was attending with me, invited by Mary Bridewell, UAP research. after the interview, after the lectures, I was invited to attend a meditation session up in a hotel room by some people. One woman, again, this former physician, started meditating, leading discussion. Let's clear out our bodies after relaxing. Let's get rid of the negative entities. Let's move up the energy. Let's do this, do that, do this organ, that organ, clean it out. I started coughing. I couldn't stop coughing. I was conscious of it, feeling bad that I was coughing, maybe interfering with others, but I couldn't stop. Let me repeat that. I couldn't stop. That's not me. You know, I cough for 20 minutes at least. And it was embarrassing, yet I had to. And that was weird. You see, that conflict, I had to.
Yeah.
It sounded like I could stop, and it was blissful. That's what's strange. It was a combination of physiologic and emotional combined that was so unusual. And I'm saying, what the heck is going on? I'm aware of it. You see, I'm conscious. It's not like I'm in a hypnotic state. I know perfectly what's going on. I love it, and I'm curious, confused, anxious. And I said to her at the end, we got to do this again because it was bliss, because it was cool.
I'm not done yet.
You know what I'm, saying? Tomorrow I'm still in town, you know, this is Melbourne, Australia, I think somewhere around there. My hotel room, don't get the wrong idea. You know, and me, camera, let's rock and roll. Okay. Did a thing. She took some videos. For those of you who saw The Exorcist and the little girl whose body contortions were rather extreme and gross, I think I described it to you, Wendy, as I did just about all that, except for the green stuff, you know?
Yeah, it was like an exorcism. Yes.
It's like an exorcism. My head was turning as extreme as it could in both directions, mainly to the right. I looked like I was sobbing. my head was down. I was very hot, so I had to take the shirt off. My jaw, my mouth was widening and stretching. I was just kind of out of contortions, upper body mainly. Feeling a bliss. You see, I looked completely opposite than how I felt. The energy, and I can't put into words here again, 3D versus 4D. It felt wonderful.
Bob Davis talking about, this is a Kundalini experience, and it's completely off the charts in terms of what he went through. We're going to take a quick break. You can find links and information in the description for the show. The film is in progress right now, but we're going to come back and talk more about this Kundalini thing that pretty much knocked his socks off and then sent his life into upheaval. Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, and my guest is Bob Davis. All right, this is a Kundalini thing. He says it's real.
The true one is spontaneous and knocks your socks. You know when you have it. It doesn't go right to the head. It gets usually lodged and stuck in the sacrum or whatever. I still have kriyas when I meditate. I rock back and forth.
Picking up from where we left off in the first break and describing how it felt.
Energetic, blissful, keep it going. Give me your best shout. I was waving to her. Come here. Like, come here, come here. Come on. That's all you got? Let's go. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? I was inviting it. You with me?
Yeah.
You
oh,
with
yeah.
me?
Yeah. You're getting rid of all the dross. You're saying, okay, goodbye. See you. This is great. I'm done. I'm done with all that. Yeah, the baggage just went.
Yeah. This is good. I wouldn't be saying that unless it was good. Yeah. It's a natural reaction.
But that's not usually how we view that. When we see somebody going through all those contortions, we're like, oh my gosh, they must be suffering. Not that they're in a state of extreme bliss.
Exactly. Look, I have the video. You think I'd show it to a doctor? I'd be afraid to. Well, what would you recommend? Resveratrol? Experiment is called 15 side effects, or something like that.
No, you did the natural way. You did the natural way. You got all that stuff without the meds.
It seems that way. That's the way I concluded. Yeah. Smelfer. Yeah. We smell sulfur at the end of the session.
Whoa.
Sulfur. She had tobacco smoke. She used that. It was a sage and tobacco smoke,
right.
and it cleared it up.
To clean, uh-huh.
It cleaned it up. Mm-hmm. But from that moment forward, I was different.
Yeah.
Functional, but I had to fight it. I had to spend the next day in Sydney or two and then fly back home to the United States. The last place you want to be on a spontaneous Kundalini, you're with me, is to try to figure out what you're going to do with Sydney, fly home, make all the amends. You don't want pressure.
Your brain's not
You want
there.
To be in nature hugging trees.
Yeah, your
You feel interconnected. You feel different. You feel whined. You have all the anxiety. Oh, intense. Why me? What happened? Am I crazy? All that. But it counted with the bliss, the kinship, connectedness with nature, the sensitivity, I can't get the language there. It was good. It felt good.
Yeah.
But the left brain, the ego comes with it and conflicts with it. It can't help it. We have a brain. We're slaves to that questioning aspect.
I think you already had a diagram. I think you already had a template for the way your life was supposed to go. And this was a major intrusion and disconnect that said your life pattern, the one you planned, wasn't exactly the way you were going to proceed forward. And so then you had to reconcile that, in my opinion.
Well, in your opinion, you're right. In your opinion, you're right, Wendy, because I often play the puppet, do the finger with the fingers from above like a puppeteer.
Yeah.
I always had that gut feeling that, it's somebody, I don't know what you call it, right? I don't want to go angels and spirit guide, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's an external energy. It's plant. Yeah. And I do that to my wife and it scares her. You know what I mean? It elicits a, ooh, maybe it is kind of,
mm-hmm.
Like there's a little truth there to her too.
Yeah.
Why would she feel, had the fear?
Yeah. Don't want to change. Structure, rigid. There's a routine. There's an expectation. Things are going to be predictable. And with this, that goes away. That goes away.
Yeah. But you see, that's right. And you see, there's also a lot of people in science and medicine, psychology, and politics, they're all pushing. They're all moving up in the sense of having experiences. Becoming more awake, so that's obviously the positive stuff in Congress. Some psychologists are getting on board, treating people these transformative experiences. Where did I go with all those things? Eventually, I found Stanislav Grof's book, Spiritual Emergency.
Yes.
I think it's called.
Yes.
It made the most sense of anything. Because there was science in it, and good case illustrations. That that's me. I identified with it. More
pictures,
so
give me pictures.
Yeah. But people need to know this. It's probably one of the most important. First of all, Kundalini is real.
Yeah.
There's an external force. It's real.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. The public out there, I know you question it until you have it. The true one is spontaneous and not just that. You know when you have it. It doesn't go right to the head. It gets usually lagged and, I don't know, you know, stuck in the sacrum or whatever. I still have kriyas when I meditate. I rock back and forth like a serpent. And that's that coiled energy. But I think it's still, it hasn't gone to the head yet. But it's out of the cork. I like to think it's past the sacrum, but stuck in the solar plexus. So I spoke to, what's his name? Edwards? Tony Edwards? Doctor, it's psychic. He said to try to clear it out, that yellow color that's in the sacrum. Am I right? Or the solar plexus? Anyway, that aside.
Yeah.
There's a lot. The point is, there's still a lot of work to do. People who think they have a kundalini, they think that's it. Oh, I'm done. I'm healthy. Right. That's right. It's a long way to go. I didn't know that. But you see, we're not educated. We don't know. Where do we go to get this information? I can't go to the internet. You get some good stuff. You get some nonsense. You don't know what to get. And there's nothing, very little in the literature. Very little on the thematic. Truth and the ENOB. What does it mean to the people? They just come back. Transpersonal events, they come back more humane.
The last
more
place I would go is to a doctor. I wouldn't go to a doctor because don't experience it. They just intellectualize it and say, well, this is what you might do, and here are some drugs.
And you know something? It's not entirely their fault. I hate this. I know
that's the training. That's the training.
That's the training. And that's all they know. The few psychologists who had all the experiences, you know, obviously, they get it. But it's few in number. And there are more communities out there. People need to look for those appropriate support groups. They do exist.
Yeah.
Spiritual Awakening Institute, Yvonne Cassandre, she's going to be on a documentary. We show the consciousness that exists at every level. And here with the Kundalini consciousness, it says that, I don't know what level, human to cosmic energy level, but you see at the subatomic between electrons, you see human to human with ESP, which is real. It's statistical, it's subtle, but it's real. If you doubt it, don't.
I mean,
I can bend the spoon, it's real.
The only thing I think, when you're trying to measure it, I think if we start doing more with the electrical element, because we're all electric, and when you see things start to spark and you shut down computers and you turn off and on lights and you have that connection with animals or with other people, then that electrical energy is where we can visualize and get something that's concrete that says there's something going on here. I mean, Cleve Baxter did it with plants. But to me, the body electric, that's been out for, 40 years? Those kinds of things to me are...
You're right.
Yeah. So I'm hoping you're including that.
you're exactly right. We forget a lot of this stuff from the past. Bioelectric activity, we now see it in the form of biophotons being generated. You know that, being generated from cells, DNA. We see quantum processes and the microtubules of the brain, the Auerbach theory, having us. We can go on and on about that. Poor everybody, right? And we see quantum processes externally. Torsion energy, spin, how Thurman talks about it, Harriman talks about it, and others. We see torsion energy does truly exist. 98% or more of the universe is composed of it. And the thing is this, it's a quantum process. The spin force does integrate with biophotonic light. You mentioned it earlier, light energy. We see it in pictures of the past, right? Light beams coming down into heads of people. Mm-hmm. What is that all about? That's how they expressed it at the time, the culture, the tech, etc. But the point is the light. Is that our today's biophotons, light energy? And look, what is reality? Light bouncing, just light that's just arriving here from the Big Bang 12.8 billion years ago, bouncing off objects. I see it. Is that reality?
I think we don't see reality. I think we see what the eyes and what our physical body can register. I don't necessarily believe that's reality.
Well, we do a very good job of what our brain does because, it came from the primordial soup, as materialists will say at least, And it's darn good at doing that, you know, unless we have a disability. We do, but we're good at that shit. But we're good at that. We're not good at 4D stuff, and people have 4D stuff. Well, we leave the confines of the brain, we leave the filters of the brain.
When I had an ear, it was an out-of-body experience, and this was from meditating, no drugs, meditating, laying on the bed, all of a sudden I'm up on the ceiling looking down at my body, but I'm also looking at this orb, this basketball-sized glowing ball of light that's above my body, and I'm on the bed in my body, and I had the ability to see all three from three vantage points, and then the awareness to know there's a fourth, which is the observer, because at first I thought, well, it's a trinity, it's three, because I'm able, and not only that, the knowing that I could see without eyes from being the ball of light looking directly down at my body as that ball and knowing this is me, this is the core, and then the other light body that's hovering above the ceiling. So for my experiences with that and having these other vantage points and saying, we don't see reality. We can experience it and have an idea, a tactile idea, but in terms of a greater reality, knowing that when some of these orbs are coming at us, they're actually just like I was. They're a representation of something else that's able to come to us in that form. Now, that's my own interpretation. I just wanted to throw that out you because of that light that you know that you're talking about and the electrical stuff. I think these things are all connected. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I know a leading neuroscientist. I would agree completely with you. She thinks she's nicer to us.
Yeah.
You know, leading astrophysicist.
Excellent. That makes me feel better.
Feels these are quantum amplifiers.
Yeah.
Quantum amplifiers that they interact with using, don't ask me what this is, dipole radiation. All I know, I looked it up. All I know is it's light energy.
Okay.
Light energy.
Okay.
All I know is it's more complex than, excuse me. He said quadrupole radiation. I just know it's more complex than dipole radiation.
Okay, it's a big word.
but big words, but light. You see, and it integrates with the brain. Look at the brain. Everybody, go to your 3D illustration of the brain online. Maneuver it in different ways so that you can see the brainstem coming down as a stalk from the front and tilt a little. It looks like a torus. Force energy, like we'll collect spin force around the spin force and channel it down into the chakra system. Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Biophotonic activity. Even DMTs, people speculate.
Yeah.
Psychoactive agents. I mean, there's a lot there too. Thematic, the study just came out with David Luke, who will also be in our documentary. We have leading experts. NDE, as you mentioned, Evan Alexander and Long, and I can go on and on. Tom Campbell's VR simulation theory. The point is, there are so many theories out there, but they do have a consistency. As different as they are, we're talking about parallel dimensions, maybe. We're talking about what? Everything is conscious. We're talking about the brain is not consciousness. We are separate from it. We're talking about, seeing non-human entities in our bedroom to the spaceship and beyond. We're talking about so many complex things. If we don't have an understanding of how complex reality is, why? We're slaves to the brain.
Yeah.
Once we escape it in some way, some people more than others, some people naturally than others, some people have to be forced, some never do, most never do.
I think right now there are a lot of people who are fascinated and really interested in this other element like ayahuasca or some other way, the peyote, you know, those kind of trips that give you permission to let go. And they don't necessarily trigger a kundalini experience, but sometimes they give people a way to get out of the shell and see that, oh my gosh, there's something else communicating with me. And maybe I have the ability to look beyond the physical. And that's what, I mean, when people experience this stuff, all of a sudden they're like a kid in a candy store. What just happened? And you don't need the drugs. But that to me is why there's this big resurgence of interest in some of the drugs that they are trying to help people deal with PTSD and with other experiences, saying, you know, okay, there has to be something more here, and maybe we can use this in a positive way.
Correct. And Ben Kenan was right. We have to be careful. It has unique benefits, as you mentioned. I'm sure more as we continue to explore his medical potential, psychological potential. And it is very useful right now in many cases. Look, what I found most interesting in the latest research on DMT, psilocybin in particular, where there was a recent study done where 30 people inhaled DMT, that's how it was administered. Guess what? They all interacted with non-human entities. And you know what? They were all benevolent. I'd say 95. I'm going to say, shouldn't say all 90 to 95. Some had negative experiences. Very rare. Often personality-based.
Yeah.
And it ranged from cartoons to the grays in terms of beings.
Mm-hmm.
The themes vary considerably, but bliss was a common component. Inner awareness. It helped resolve issues that people had. It's self-exploration. Not always pleasant.
Yeah.
Not always. It can be very painful, certainly. I've never done it. It amazes me, Wendy, how many people my age do it. I did it in the 60s at Central Park because I was a hippie, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, but what the hell do I know? Heavy shit, excuse me.
Yeah.
Pass around the bottle. You know, what do we know? And now it's better controlled. Be careful, everybody. You know, not all personalities may be able to handle it, truly. I think it'd be done very cautiously by someone under the guidance. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think the emotions are the challenge, because if you already have dealing with emotions is difficult. And if there's that, you know, the element of rage or even shame, then those kinds of things can, I think, become more traumatic when you're trying to work through that without supervision.
I see. Well, thank you. I don't have that insight.
They're heavy. Those are heavy. That's the sulfur. That's right there at the low root chakra.
Yeah, you see, some people aren't, should be very careful. They could have a negative experience. And thank you for mentioning that. That's why I said some percent are negative, and it's often personality-based or location-based. Be in Sydney and have a kundalini.
Yeah.
Like be in Sydney on a hot summer day with all the hubbub, and you know, you're on DMT. You want to be in nature or whatever you feel is cool.
See, I would have thought India would be like a trigger, you know, but Australia, wow, you know, but that's the indigenous. That's where you've got the Aborigines. I mean, and to me, that's like the heart, the core of our species.
It's so funny you mentioned that. Not funny, coincidental. Dr. Mary Batchelor, who I mentioned earlier, who facilitated that kundalini image, channeled that psychic energy, whatever you call it, in me to induce a kundalini. Why did she do that? Well, she saw her, and I did share this with you, I know. She saw her son tragically, unfortunately, killed by a car that crushed him against the fence. She saw the spirit leave the body. She felt him. And she just had a sudden urge to visit India and a particular temple. And she went to that temple with a friend of hers, and she went to a casket, a long name of a former, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A shaman or whatever.
Guru, yeah.
With a K, I think. She said to me, Bob, I got zapped on the head. Okay, what does that mean to you, right? What does that mean to me? I got zapped on the head.
Well, that's awakening. That's a deep diksha moment. Something that
that's like a light coming from above, you know, or something.
Yeah,
I got that. And from that experience, in point, she developed some kind of power. I don't think carefully used, at least not then, because she induced spontaneous awakenings in me, which in the long run are good because I assimilated, I integrated it after a spiritual emergency, but it was heavy. A good solid year, heavy and not cool.
Yeah.
You know, started smoking cigarettes and a whole bit. You know, it wasn't cool.
Well, that was
was cool.
The smoking cigarettes, that's grounding. That's trying to get yourself back into touch with your physical, trying to get yourself back into the box, and because everything was out and had flown out, and all of a sudden, that's breathing. But smoking is an excuse to breathe, and whatever people say, there's also a metaphysical and medicinal element with smoking, and that's why people smoke a peace pipe.
There's no question. It is people smoke also to reduce anxiety.
Yeah,
probably one of the best things to reduce anxiety.
You don't want to get hooked.
Right. Yeah. And cigars are good. You don't inhale it into your lungs. Some are good. You know, I don't advocate it. Some of the smokeless pouches may be a wiser alternative. But the point is,
you did. Yeah, you got
tobacco.
It.
If you get pure tobacco, tobacco is actually healthy. Not the crap they obviously put in it, but right, aside from that, it seemed to get out of the stench of the that terrible sulfur odor that emanated from my body apparently after the Kundalini. But I forget where we were at.
You were talking about it being no fun for a year, and you started smoking because you were trying to recover from this.
Yeah,
you know, that's where you were.
And I'm searching for answers. Searching for answers. Talking to people, being very selective who I talk to and how I express it.
Right.
You see, that stigma, obviously. And I obviously consider going to psychologist, psychiatrist. I need an anti-anxiety medication. Come on. A lot of people do. You're really in a panic.
Yeah.
There are days, you know, you need help to get you out of that, get you grounded, and do whatever you can that helps get you grounded. And it's something under-recognized. We don't give enough attention to it. It bothers me, Wendy, that the medical community, they just don't. Eastern, Western science, and now they're trying to accept it a little bit better, you know, taking the cultural aspect of the person's beliefs into account, and it's not always bad if they believe they have a Kundalini, that kind of shit.
Right.
That kind of stuff, you know, a little bit. But they're going to be pretty much hardwired and treat your symptoms as if you're a psychotic or having dissociative experience. And for some, you are psychotic. You know, you're just not, you're far from yourself, especially a true Kundalini, true, spontaneous. Well,
that's the frustration, though. The language, and especially when someone who is, this isn't a part of their culture, has to try and get help. Yeah, right now, basically you're throwing them to the wolves.
To
me, that's a shamanic element, and that you've got South America, you've got in Brazil, which is still very much those kinds of elements are part of their culture. You also have India, you know, Eastern. There are places to go, and you have the shamanic element with the Native Americans here in the United States. But that's, you have to go outside of our current framework that says, okay, this is an emotional, personality, physical issue. It isn't linear. It isn't, I'm stuck in my mind. It's what the hell's happening with my body. Does that make sense?
What's happening in my body? What's happening in my mind? What's happening with life? Yeah, how do I talk to people? How do I explain my kriyas, my body shakes, to my wife? How do I explain that I'm not going crazy? I mean, do I go to a doctor? Do I go to my friends? I don't resonate with a lot of my friends anymore.
Yeah.
I'm more sympathetic to people. I get kriyas now. My body shakes all the time, especially when I talk about spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
I start hugging trees. I start feeling interconnected with the environment I'm anxious about. And there's a million more questions.
Yeah. Well, there's an ecstatic thing that basically you got a jump start.
Yes,
and all of a sudden, here's this buzz, and it's a good buzz.
It's a good buzz. It's a beautiful bliss. I'm not knocking it. You got to be a little tough and deal with it.
Yeah.
But because in the long run, it is a positive. It does make you more creative. It gives you a drive. It gives you a purpose. It puts you on a path that you feel is you. It's not easy. You're fighting your 3D brain along the way because we're human beings. We'll suffer our whole life in various ways and share the beauty as well. But we will all suffer. This is part of it. A learning process, whatever you want to call it. I think we're making good strides. This horrible pandemic is causing people to have more near-death experiences, causing people to have more spiritual wellness episodes, OBEs, I think they're meditating, more yoga, but however they're getting to that level of awareness that's increasing from where they were, I think that's maybe the good thing, if anything, of not being in the office all the time and being at home more and having a little bit more leisure, besides the pressures and the obvious downsides. If there's anything good, anything, maybe it's that. And listening to people like you, you're wonderful. You really are. I'm very impressed with your background. Really excellent host.
Thank you. Well, I get back into what's happening right now with the pandemic and seeing it as, yeah, it's incredibly tragic and it's incredibly frustrating because all the things that we took for granted have now been taken away and we've had to rewrite our normal, and that won't change in the near future. But the other part of that, when you're looking at the numbers of people who disconnected and left work, because all of a sudden the priorities changed. And for some, the priority was, I want to reclaim my life. I don't have to keep doing this. And that's a rude awakening in so many ways. But at the same time, it's necessary if we want to go forward. And that's why I like your film, bringing all these people together and giving people an outlet of, you know, and saying, look, this is what's happening for all these other people. It isn't abnormal. It's normal. So let's figure this out and start working together to get more answers. And people have to tell their stories to do that. And they have to feel comfortable to tell their stories.
Yes. To tell their stories from well-balanced people from all walks of life. And that's real. But science doesn't accept it as real because it's not science. It's anecdotal. But yes, they're in the film, consciousnessfilm.info. It's done with an Emmy Award-winning producer. It's going to be an exceptional film. And it's going to try to elevate the consciousness, the awareness of people like, you know, and you're there already. We all have a long way to go, but you're there in the sense that you know there's more, you know, for many reasons, and you benefit from it. You struggle with it. We all do. But you benefit in the far outweighs any negative associated with it, indeed. Being home more and maybe being less materialistic as a result of all of that, and seeing loved ones die and get ill, of course. Hypervigilance for us personally is not good for our psyche. The stress component is intense. And maybe that's spiritual growth too, because we're looking for answers. We're searching maybe more than we ever have what life is all about, what we are all about, what life and death are all about. Maybe that's part of evolution, and it's good for us in some morbid way. You know, that's asking these questions. It makes us ask them even more than we normally do. Maybe it's good that we do. I'll tell you. It's taken a toll on us. When we look back on this in 2-3 years, we're going to say, holy mackerel, what we went through. But society's for the better. Look at the UAP is coming out during this pandemic. I think we're going to see other advancements being made, whatever it's worth. Nothing, you know, not the whole thing is coming out, but at least people are becoming more aware. And that's the whole thing. We become more awake, become more aware. It's a reinforcing process. People turn each other on. They get the idea. UAPs are real. That means a lot. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well,
it's either here or elsewhere. You know, it brings a lot of questions. It helps.
The fact that you can finally mention it without having a giggle and a, you know, a sigh and a, you know, some kind of derogatory statement is long overdue. And that is the one big thing that changed during this time. I think that's just a beginning. The first step, allowing other stuff to come. Because when you get into the UAP, UFO stuff, then the experiencer is right underneath that little label and underneath the lid. And that is why I think part of your film includes that when you've got Grant Cameron and you also have Christopher Bledsoe in your Kathleen Martin. You have that representation there of these experiences that also go along with the UFO stuff.
That's right. You can't ignore that. that's an essential component. There's a physical component, no question, but there's obviously a psychic, whether you want to call it, Valet, Hynek, they all talk, not all of them, only a few, and unfortunately, too many have ignored that aspect of it. But
Hynek got into it at the end when he finally said, okay,
oh, yeah.
You know, after he was done doing the swamp gas thing, then he got into it. Kufos, I think, is still operational, the Center for Studies for UFOs. I've got the link, and I know that that's still active. But he turned, and that wasn't, I don't think, anticipated when he went into it at the beginning.
And he said it's a physical and a psychic phenomenon. It's so foreign to the terrestrial mode of thought, he said at the UN. He couldn't understand it. It was insane. You know, the Valet, it's a control system. It's an intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that study the plasma lights even call them intelligent. You know, plasma? I'm not saying they're all UFOs, but if they're intelligent,
yeah.
Will for purpose, you know, respond to lights, maybe we're... maybe with collapsing the wave function, maybe they interact with biophotonic activity in our brains. But we see quantum processes in the brain, quantum processes external to the brain. Maybe there's a reason why. We're part of the universe. Everything in us we find elsewhere. We will find elsewhere. All the minerals, oxygen, everything. Why can't we find quantum processes being similar in that respect, of course. So it wouldn't surprise me. We're all one. We're all interconnected. Bombs are the same. The implicate, explicate order. Nobel laureates exist that said the same thing. And we lose sight of that. It's unfortunate. Well, we need to integrate it again. You know, Einstein said... spiritualism and science come from the same tree, often forgot. And he searched for the ether. It wasn't appropriate for his time, but he knew there was more.
He knew
there was more.
And so did Tesla.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The Consciousness Connection is the name of the film. And again, the site consciousnessfilm.info, if you are interested in somehow participating, as in contributing a buck or two. That's welcome.
Or more.
That's welcome.
More.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we won't limit that. Yeah. So thank you. I look forward to seeing the final project. I think this is going to be another, you know, great leap forward of getting people to tell their stories and combining all the aspects instead of just, you know, doing the brain thing or the near death thing or it's under the umbrella and it needs to be, I think, included and addressed like that. So thank you for what you're doing.
I agree. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for what you're doing. It exists in every level of our life, everywhere that we look, it's there.
Okay, and that film is a work in progress. I'll put links in the description for the show. And the other thing, usually I follow up with a blog post at Talking to Nightlights, the WordPress site, that blog. I also have right now, there's a film that I posted recently, and this film is fascinating because they got the inspiration from Netflix. They saw a show, and then they followed up with the experiencers who were mentioned on that show. The cool thing is, one of those experiencers said Netflix couldn't even get her to return to the scene of this UFO abduction. This time, being on that spot, she actually felt better. So this whole experience for her helped her heal. Hey, thanks for listening. Till next time, stay curious.